got Maggie Dan here. And Maggie, before we get underway, I just want to tell you something that will resonate with a lot of listeners out there. And this will not blow you away, but you expect it. So I took my daughter to gymnastics for the first time just a couple of days ago. And on the way there, she said, "Dad, have you got your phone?" And I said, "No, I didn't bring it." And she said, "Oh, that's good." And I asked her another question, "Why is that?" She goes, "Oh," and then she just went, "Are the horses racing today?"
Oh,
and
Sean.
I said, "No, they're not racing, darling." She goes, "Oh, can you watch me? Can you make sure you watch me?"
Sure.
That was a real dagger. How damning.
Terrible.
And I see parents all the time at sporting events and doing the same thing.
But
so that's
not
one
as
for
as
all
you.
Of us.
They know.
Person.
It's about being present, isn't it? Oh, so kids really sense it.
Oh, they know. They seriously know.
Yeah,
oh.
It's real heartbreaking.
Then again, you know what? It's just hard.
It's great to record some of it, but not all of it, I think.
In a perfect world, you wouldn't be like that. But you know what? Mm.
Yeah.
You've got, that's your, not only you there with Sunny, but also that's a bit of your personal time because you're working so much. So you know what I mean? It's a hard thing.
And to be fair, our generation, my mum didn't stay and watch me do that stuff. She would drop me off at netball and go and do the shopping and come back and pick me up.
I remember my parents watch me play netball.
Yeah, I know. Like, it just wasn't a thing.
I had to get there by myself and get home again.
Oh, I thought that was a real, when she said it, it kind of broke my heart.
Oh, you are a terrible father.
Yeah. And you did watch, didn't you? You didn't go to sleep.
No, I
good.
Felt like it.
Yeah, no.
Because I'm hungry watching it.
Now, it's Mother's Day on Sunday.
It is.
And, I mean, I know that often you've said that mums, you know, sometimes get a bit too caught up in it all and might need to take a bit of a step back sometimes when it comes to parenting their kids.
Mm. But as we get to this week, you know, and I travel every corner of this beautiful country and I just think mums are just so hard on themselves.
Yes.
I see them whipping themselves over the tiniest of things. They lay awake going, "God, they didn't eat broccoli and what will everyone think?" Because, you know, and I just want them this week to really just, exactly what I said, sit on the couch and have your cup of tea or coffee or your juice or whatever it is that does it for you. But just chill a little because all the things you're worrying about are just quite normal in most times.
You know what?
You know? It's
so
chaos.
True.
It's repetitive. It can be as boring as bat poo and you just don't know if you're going to get through the next week, some weeks. And those of you who kept on breeding, you just scratch your head, don't you, thinking, is this really what I had planned? But
I
reassure
so
you, they
mums.
Do leave one day.
Yeah, I feel sorry for them when they do, like these days, because everyone has their opinion on what you're doing on social media, you know, and everything's so concentrated. But just, you know what, to feel better, mums, think back to when we were kids. I don't even remember being parented. Like, you know what I mean? We could be out until 11 o'clock at night playing in a mineshaft. You know what? When it all comes down to the fact, if you take a week off, your kids are going to be fine.
Yeah. And the other thing is if perhaps you do, you know, if there's something that you feel you've really neglected them in this week, it's just going to be a funny story for them to talk about years down the track.
You're gathering material for their 21st
all the time. That's exactly right.
And I think that's the ultimate revenge. But one of the things we can't do, Nathan, is that we actually had more resilience. We had more capacity to be able to take care of ourselves.
Yep.
And
that's
kind of one of the big messages that we struggle today, that we've been terrified that we can't let our kids out because they can't manage and we can't let them ride to school. We can't let them do all these things.
It's not that we don't think the kids can manage.
No,
it's that we're worried about what else is out there, isn't it?
And we've skewed the perception of the world. And every now and then I do get to a primary school that has about 300 bikes outside and I just about punch the air and dance like a crazy woman because that collective of parents and that school community have gathered together to get our kids back doing what we think is good for them and healthy for them. So once again, that's why we're giving away booklets today of my pocketbook.
Building Children's Resilience.
We've shrunk it so it's quick and easier to read. But once again, you can build capacity in your kids early on. You can give them life skills. You make sure they do their chores and give them tasks and learn how to handle a sharp knife and all these things that we think.
And it's a graduated thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Of course it is.
Like, you know,
golly, yes.
There you go, everyone. Sharp knives for Christmas.
Start with whittling with a
whittling.
On a stick with a potato peeler. That's
when all the other kids are out now, they're at and you're telling your child you're going to spend this afternoon whittling a stick.
Yes,
they're going to say, "Mummy, I love you."
Oh, thank you later, everybody. Thank you later. Now, 13 24 10. If you have a question about your kids and some issues that they might be having, Gemma is in Bertram. Hello.
Hi. How you going, guys?
Hey, Gem.
What's your question for Maggie?
Well, I've got a three-nager.
How does that work?
What is that?
Well, so my little girl, she's three and she's going on 15 at least. She's a little bit hectic at the best of times.
Give me a couple of specifics. Come on, what's she doing?
Okay, so we went to the shop the other day and, like, I'm not one that normally have those screaming kids, but I was that mum the other day that had that screaming kid. And I was like, oh my gosh, how do I deal with this situation right now? Like without, you know, losing my shit.
Losing your cool,
But like, you know, I just carried on walking. I was like, okay, Jamie, you no worries. That's fine. You want to carry on like that? You do that. And I just walked away. Well, that just made the whole situation worse. And then I had all these awesome parents looking at me, like judging. You could just see the judgment in their eyes. Yeah, just with everything, she's just got a real attitude.
She's got an attitude. Isn't that terrible? Do you see other little girls in other families and they're just all loving to their mother and stuff and you just think,
I don't see it. Like, when other people, parents tell me, I'm like, oh, I feel normal. But I don't see it.
My daughter's delightful.
Okay.
She is delightful, yeah.
Maggie.
So, Gemma, I'm going to tell you, you've got a little rooster. A little rooster that thinks she's got, you know, they have this elevated sense of their own importance. They absolutely, genuinely, almost from birth, think they're more important.
So she's a Kardashian kid.
Well, no.
So basically, to her, the world revolves around her.
Complete narcissistic. There's no question. And she will argue with you about things. She's probably arguing before she was verbal. So just remember, this is a journey that's going to do your head in a little. However, what we do know around, and of course, little girls develop their capacity to use emotional blackmail and manipulation quite early. So she's cultivating it. So in actual fact, she's excelling at an early age.
Yeah, and she's then, a very clever little girl.
Yeah. And then you weave into the fact that she's also three, which is also about getting my own way, my own stuff. So you've got a few things going on here. So this is where healthy boundaries is really, really important for this one. And it is that in the next, you know, 12 months, you've got this tough job of being mean and loving in a kind of sort of balance. So she's, you know, basically she's got to know there's no absolute no, but not too many no's. Yep. And also, how can she have some more choices? So when you're wanting to do things, you might be able to say, so do you know, which of these do you want to wear? But she's probably going to go and get one out of the cupboard. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need to pick your battles around what things do I hold the ground on. And the key ones for roosters is that they don't hurt others. Verbally or physically, they don't damage property. If they want to throw tatties and tantrums in the shopping centre, just step right back and let her go for it, really, because she's going to stop eventually if you don't give her what she wants. Later on, this is the trick with these bright roosters, we have a quiet conversation about what our expectations are. How do you think that makes other people feel? And do you think that's the sort of person she wants to grow up to be one day? But we don't do it in the moment because she's only three and she's fired up with lots of cortisol. And if you can get your mum on board, get dad on board around
this. Well, my mum thinks that she's my karma.
Okay. I was actually going to suggest that tends to be a tendency. So once again, one day, at different times, sit down and think, what would I have wanted in that moment? What was I trying to get? So often kids, when they go really badly behaved, there's an unmet need. And quite often it's one I'm not feeling as loved as I could because I drive you mad and you've got that look on your face. And I have a beautiful article on my website about building love bridges. And I try and build some stronger connections when you're not fighting so that she feels really, really secure in your love so that you can hold the ground when you need to. Because the greatest motivation for children is to get more love.
Definitely.
Well, last one, Jem.
I just kind of thought of a great idea. When you guys are shopping with your children, don't you think that now that there are seats in the shopping centres for men to sit down on, there should be a tantrum corner where you can
actually...
Yeah,
it's padded.
You know the IKEA ball? You can sign your kid in there. They're losing it. You sign them in.
Pick them up later.
They give you, you know those buzzers that you get at cafes and they buzz your food? Then once they've calmed down, it goes beep, 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 and then you can come down and get them.
Okay, I'd like to add to that. What about one for the parents where you can go in there, a few boxing bags, and just lay in?
So we've got a rage room.
The rage room. Yes, I love
next
it.
To the tantrum corner.
Yep.
Yeah. Look, perfect. I want to throw something in there. That shopping centres are incredibly overstimulating places for young children. Yeah. And to be honest, I'd much prefer if you hadn't dumped them at your mum's or a friend or
never take them to the shops,
because it's massively overstimulating. And you've got to pick the time of day when they're not too tired, and they're not too hungry, and they haven't got a wet nappy. And it's a really tricky thing to juggle.
And there's a lot of things placed specifically to attract their attention.
And flashing lights and all these things.
Would it be really that bad if there was a post that was supervised by somebody, like just a post, and you could, you know, the kids' leash, tie them up. Like, you know what I mean? Because they're safe. Yeah. You know, they're not in danger. People are
supervising. There's a bowl of water.
You know where they are.
90% of children's inappropriate behaviour is completely developmentally appropriate because they're children with an underdeveloped prefrontal lobe.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
And of course, so there's a lot of men who hasn't quite got there.
Yeah,
too, so
exactly.
We'll move on.
Maggie Dent has written another book, everybody. She's a prolific author. Building Children's Resilience, One Building Block at a Time, and it's dot point, so you don't have to read too much.
Yep. Yeah, and available as an ebook for those who, you know, just want to do that
future stuff.
Oh,
okay.
We're getting lots of stuff from overseas at the moment. I can't believe someone from Paraguay or Vietnam wants to.
I can't believe it took them so long to discover you, Maggie.
Oh, good point, Nat.
Well, we've got Patricia from Brangshire Grove. Hi, Patricia.
Hi.
Hi, Trish. Now, talk to us. What do you need Maggie's help with?
Motivation for my son.
Okay. What are you trying to get him to do to start with?
Well, he doesn't want anything and doesn't care about anything. So,
how old is he, Trish?
He'll be 8 in the end of the month.
Okay.
Yep. Save fortune or gifts.
Give me a couple of specifics of what worries you about it.
Just that, you know, you've got no bargaining power, really, because he doesn't care.
So your kid is so chilled out, nothing gets to him.
You can't manipulate him.
You can't wave a carrot in front of his face and say, like, here, I'll buy you a bike if you do this, because he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
And you can't take anything off him because he doesn't care about that.
He can take everything off him and he doesn't care.
I don't want Maggie to help you. I want to come around and watch. I think it's hilarious.
So Patricia,
she watched me stress out.
Yeah, Patricia, so what we've got here is probably more like a lamb who's not motivated to chest bang and be an alpha male.
Yeah.
And so he's actually what we call a cruiser. And he's just kind of participating in life. And, you know, they just want to drift through. They don't want conflict. They just want to be able to kind of do enough of what they like and keep everyone a little bit
happy. Maggie, if they were adults, would they be the stoner on the beach that's just sort of like hanging out and just like cool with everyone and like wearing a shell necklace?
Or without any artificial stuff in their system.
Or they just work in a factory and just do their job and at the end of the day go home.
I think we've got to remember that we've all got these different strengths inside us. And if you look at the multiple intelligence map, you know, there's a couple of them that will never come up on the NAPLAND test. And interpersonal skills and intrapersonal skills are ones that, you know, if we're comfortable within ourselves, we're not at war with ourselves, we're actually a lot calmer person to be around. And I think there's a lot of parents out there who'd love a boy just like your boy who's not driving them insane by demanding everything all the time. Mm-hmm. So you just got to look at what sorts of things am I being realistic around? Is he doing okay at school?
No, okay, so
let's go there. And one of the reasons they can back off around that, remember that little boys and men, if they can't achieve some form of success or a performance that makes them feel good on the inside, they often don't want to participate. So that's what I was thinking.
Everything.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So, he's excited about nothing.
Yeah. So what's happening there is you have to find something that gets his spark going, something he can do really well, because when he gets something he's good at, then he tends to flow onto other things. So no matter what it is, breeding, getting pigs, dinosaurs, doesn't matter what it is, find something.
He's not interested. The only thing he's interested is football.
Okay. Well, there you go. Go with that. Go with that as far as you can go with it.
But he has issues with that because he's the smallest kid.
That's okay.
He won't be the smallest kid forever.
No.
It will get better.
One day he'll get big and hairy.
He won't be the smallest kid forever. Some kids don't get taller.
No, he will be the smallest kid forever.
And check out my website under the Common Concerns page. We'll give you some more tips on how to get little boys going.
Hey, and we'll sling you a copy of Maggie's book as well, Patricia. It sounds like you could really use it.
No worries, thank you.
No worries.
All right.
I've just got a picture of her kid with dreadlocks sitting under a tree. Unfazed
by anything. And whatever, I mean, it would be difficult when you know that you want them to do their homework or whatever, and there's literally nothing you can do to induce them to do it.
If I could get a dollar for every parent who has a boy who's cruising and not doing much at school, who's really bright even, I could retire.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Maggie, as always, we love everything about you. MaggieDent.com is where you can find out so much information about raising your kids and where you can find out how to get a hold of her books.